Volo, this is the Volo Show, bringing you the most inspiring interviews, stories, and ways you can take action in your community. With your host, Tony Fasciano, broadcasting live from Volunteer New York, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization in the heart of Tarrytown, whose mission is to help community members get off the sidelines and volunteer locally. From Rockland to Putnam to Westchester, everyone can say Vo-Vo-Volo. Everyone can serve. And that's why it's time to shout, it's the Vo-Vo-Vo-Volo Show.
Welcome to those joining us directly from our 41st Annual Volunteer Spirit Awards, which streamed live on April 9th and had a preview of this episode. So if you have not seen our 2021 Volunteer Recognition event or heard the stories of this year's winners, carve out some time in your day and make a plan to be inspired, because it's live and free on our website. Because here's the thing, folks. Today's episode is larger than life. If the Civic Circle were a bread box, yeah, it's a bit bigger than that, because our featured guest is Natalie Paquin, the president and CEO of Points of Light. And this is also our first special Global Volunteer Month episode that is brought to you by Regeneron, who is one of Volunteer New York's strongest community partners. Here's a few quick words to learn more about them. Civic 50 healthcare sector leader Regeneron is a leading biotechnology company that invents life-transforming medicines for people with serious diseases. The company's ability to translate science into medicine has led to 9 FDA-approved treatments and numerous product candidates in development. Making the world healthier through life-transforming medicines goes hand in hand with Regeneron's commitment to healthy communities. Regeneron empowers and supports employees to give back through signature programs like the Regeneron Science Talent Search, Day for Doing Good, and its STEM education outreach, employee volunteering, and giving programs. More about Regeneron, please visit Regeneron.com or follow at Regeneron on Twitter. All right, guys, get ready, because you're about to meet the leader of global volunteerism, Natalie Paquin.
Good afternoon, Tony. It's nice to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
We are so very thankful for your time today and for being a guest here, especially as I know how busy and exciting Global Volunteer Month is for you. But first, I was hoping you could tell me more about your journey that has led you to Points of Light as president and CEO.
One thing that I would say is that leadership is not a straight line, and that applies to me. I started off my career really as a civil rights lawyer and worked in the education space for a very long time, over 15 years, and then really got into the volunteer space as a volunteer. For those who know me, they would describe me, or I have been described as, you know, someone with a volunteer spirit and a servant's heart. And really getting into the nonprofit space was just on the other side of the table, picking organizations that I really cared about, issues that I was interested in supporting and volunteering. And from that, a few opportunities opened up and I was invited to either apply or just be considered for a leadership role. And there you have it.
So in addition to the many leadership roles and your experience as an attorney for the U.S. Department of Education, I understand there is a poem that you wrote and recited that you shared in the opening plenary of the 2018 Points of Light Conference, which, for our listeners who may not know, this is the annual conference with attendance in the tens of thousands for people and professionals of every sector who are interested in the practice and potential of volunteerism and volunteer management. So with that said, could you tell me more about this poem, how it came to be, and maybe what does it mean to you now looking back on it?
That was one of my first conferences with Points of Light as the CEO, the president and CEO. And I wanted to share a piece of myself, a part of myself authentically. It took a little courage to actually share poetry. I wanted the poem to say or reveal that I was a little different. I wasn't just a talking head, which, you know, I really believe that most of the leaders, none of the leaders in the volunteer space and in the nonprofit space are really talking heads. But it was my attempt to say, I'm different. The poem was called How I Read a Poem Like This. And I actually wrote that poem back in, I believe it was 1990 or 1991. It was the year Nelson Mandela was released from prison in South Africa. And the poem is really about, as an African-American woman, a woman of color, living in a world and seeing so many different sides and parts and aspects of my community. And, you know, it's really about the despair and the hope and the plight and the future of people like me.
So are you still writing poetry? And if yes, how so do you fit that into everything else you're involved with?
I wish I had more time to write poetry. What I am doing now, and so the answer is no, I'm not writing any poetry at the moment. But what I am doing is capturing ideas. You know, I'll see something that resonates with me, or, you know, sometimes you have a dream and it just sticks with you. And so you believe that there's something there and you want to connect the dots. So I do have a little collection of things I'm likely to write about. I just haven't found the time to quiet my brain and center my soul so that the essence of what needs to be said comes through. But I will. I will.
For those who may not know the way Volunteer New York is an affiliate of the Points of Light Global Network, as are hundreds of other volunteer connector agencies across 38 countries around the globe. Could you speak to your perspective on what is the role Points of Light plays globally? And how have you helped or have tried to help guide Points of Light to be the thing that the world needs Points of Light to be?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, first of all, let me just say that we're so happy to have Volunteer New York as a part of our global network. The work that you do in your community is so important, and we had the privilege of working with your executive director, Jeanette Ginsburg, and we just learned so much from her, and hopefully you all will continue to be just a wonderful champion of all the work that we do. So Points of Light, the essence of our work is we're a convener. We work with organizations like yours, companies, individuals, connecting people to opportunities to do good. 3 years ago, we asked ourselves, you know, when we were going through our strategic planning or strategic learning process, because that's really what the planning process should be. It should be an opportunity to stop, reflect, learn, evaluate, and then move forward. We ask ourselves, do we want to be who we want to be, or do we want to be who the world needs us to be? And, you know, whenever you are providing a product or service, it should be a solution to a problem or a solution to something that someone needs. And, you know, in the volunteer space, in the volunteer arena, we provide human capital, you know, in inspiring, equipping, and mobilizing people to take action that moves their community or the issues that they believe in forward. So as we were doing the strategic planning process, one of the things that we learned, we spoke to over 100 people, internal, external, in the sector, professionals. We learned that we wanted to really expand the concept of volunteerism to civic engagement. And so that was a journey that we went on. And, you know, civic engagement is more about using your voice, using your purchase power, using your ability to vote, perhaps committing to national service, being a social entrepreneur, and then, of course, volunteering. And so, you know, if you'd like to, we can get more into that. But that thing is just inspiring, equipping, and mobilizing people to be more civically engaged.
Are there efforts through the Civic Circle and how you're changing your approach at Points of Light that will evolve the definition of what we consider volunteerism?
The future is a more holistic approach. And, you know, when you think about the volunteer that is in front of you, that volunteer actually is your multiplier. And those of us who have relationships, are engaged with that volunteer, they're there for a reason, and they are there because they believe in your cause. They want to support you. And the question for you is, how do you get them even more engaged? Are you leveraging their talents and assets in ways that they imagined? So, you know, you think about that volunteer's voice. Are they sharing the plight or the opportunities of your issues with their family and friends, with their neighbors, with their colleagues at work, in their social networks? When they vote, do they know which leaders' policies align with the issues that they care about, the issues that they support? When they are making discretionary purchases or, you know, necessary purchases, is there some percentage of their purchase power that they are using to support the cause and lean into the cause that they care about? And so we see the future of volunteerism really synonymous with the future of civic engagement, and it is expanding how that individual leverages his or her superpowers to push and move an issue forward.
You know, thinking about this future, is there something to the idea that in time, Gen Z will be the ones who are really going to usher in a new wave of volunteerism and increase engagement, which we haven't seen in the U.S. for quite some time?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We actually last year conducted research, and at that time we found that Gen Z is the most civically engaged generation of the generations that are with us today. And so our research was really validating the impact of the civic circle. It was validating how the various populations and generations engage. And we surveyed over 1,400 people across the country with an oversampling of Gen Z and millennials. And what we learned was, you know, Gen Z, they are just more socially engaged. In the past year, 40% of them said that they took five or more civic actions. And I think it was 28% said that they took at least three or four civic actions. And then when we asked them about whether they were, how they use their purchase power. And I think 60% of the Generation Z respondents said that they made purchase decisions based on a company's social responsibility position and actions. And so I think it's definitely something we have to take note of.
What should we be asking ourselves and looking to solve and working towards in this moment? What are the questions that you want to see answered in your lifetime?
I'd love to see that all barriers were removed for individuals to exercise agency, to support the causes they care about, and to solve problems.
If there was one thing you would want to be your legacy, what would you want it to be?
That I helped humanity serve humanity.
Could we take a step back for a moment, and if you wouldn't mind sharing, what is your first memory of helping or giving back or volunteering?
My first memory is actually a memory as a child being with my parents who worked the polls, the voting polls. And yeah, that's my first memory. I remember my brother and I kind of playing outside, watching the people go by while my mom was at a desk. And I guess she was, you know, she was doing the ID verification or something. But, you know, my first memory was really as a young child watching my parents. And then I think a little older memory. And so, you know, I had to be, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, very young. And then an older memory had to be as just as a young girl, maybe 12 or 13, distributing lunches at a park for, you know, for summer camp. So I wasn't old enough to work and get paid, but I was too old to be hanging around the house and not doing anything. So I was at the park district, and I wasn't old enough to be a camp counselor, but I thought I was too sophisticated to actually be a camper. You know, so at 13, 12 or 13, I was handing out lunches. That was what I did as a volunteer.
So for someone who is not engaged civically in their community at the moment, or who might be looking to what they will do or thinking about what they will do after the pandemic, what is a good first tiny step forward that you would recommend as a way to get started with service and to nudge someone maybe off the sidelines?
Sure. Well, what we know is that the number one reason why people volunteer is because they're asked. It's because they're asked. The number one reason why people volunteer is because they're asked. They come back when they understand that they've made an impact. And if you give them a good experience, you may have them for a lifetime. So what we would encourage everyone to do is, if there's something you care about, ask a friend, ask a buddy, ask a neighbor, ask a colleague, invite someone to join you in that. And if you are on the receiving end of an invitation to join someone on a Saturday or a Sunday, or, you know, make a couple of phone calls, or pack some bags, or baggies or care kits in someone's home, if you're on the receiving end, say yes. Find time to just say yes. If you are the person who invited someone, share with them the impact of their time. And make sure when they join you to give them a good positive experience, you know, create some type of emotional connection, whether it's a laugh or, you know, just a funny inside story or, you know, giggle or joke, something that helps them remember the value of the time you are spending together and what it will mean for that person who's on the receiving end, what it meant to you as a person who was sharing the experience, and hopefully what it will mean to them as a part of a story of experiences that they begin to collect.
What makes you hopeful right now?
Wow, what makes me hopeful right now is I truly believe and see that there has been an awakening of privilege and power and positioning and juxtapositioning of privilege and power. What makes me hopeful is, you know, as someone who's worked for so many years, I am around tables where conversations of race and equity and systemic racism and, you know, systemic inequities are being discussed in earnest. What makes me hopeful is, you know, as unfortunate and tragic of the killing of the public murder of George Floyd was, that millions of people saw it around the world, and you can't unsee the tragedy of that and how something so heinous could happen in public, in broad daylight, with people standing, begging, pleading to stop. And so the fact that as human beings, we can't unsee that, it stirs our soul, it stirs our spirit to want to do better and be better. And what makes me hopeful is experiencing the actions of people being better and building better.
Your message to anyone who does not see themselves as a leader?
I believe that the solution to any problem probably rests in the community. There's a person who can step up and say, I can help. And my message to them is, you are enough, that every action matters, that no act or action is too small, and that you are enough. Your voice is enough. Your being is enough. Your presence is enough. You know, what you do counts. And so use it. Vote. Use your purchase power. Volunteer. Donate. Use your voice. Take your superpowers and apply them in your community. You are enough.
So now you have it here definitively and until the end of time. You are enough. You are enough. You are enough. Natalie Paquin knows that you are. She said it. And trust that Volunteer New York believes you are the person you're striving to be, usually and most of the times before you do. To close this special Global Volunteer Month episode brought to you by Regeneron, please stay tuned to hear Natalie Paquin's reading of her poem, How I Read a Poem Like This, as a special thank you for sticking with us during Global Volunteer Month, celebrating with us, and being part of the Volo Show. You are enough, but you already knew that.
How I read a poem like this, how it provoked thought, how I'd like to do the same. Provoke thought about racism, about sexism, about classism, about choice, about basic human rights, human needs, human dignity, about action, about empathy, about apathy. How I think about life in America, how I think about its economy, about its drug problem, about healthcare, mental healthcare. How I think about its people, about the rich, about the poor, about the average Joe and Jane on the street, about our leaders, about our illiterate and our homeless. How I think about what I can do to make a difference. Oh, how I think about the crime in my neighborhood. Exhausting. How I think about the victims and the victimizers, the thieves and con artists, the moms with bills and babies, and our gun-toting teens who carry and represent for freedom. How I think about the success in my neighborhood. Invigorating. About our doctors, our lawyers, our engineers, our teachers and tech heads. About our beautiful artists whose words and songs and pictures inspire us to skip from one scene to the next. About those who tap into our natural hopes and joy. About everyday leaders whose life it is to care and pray for others. How I think about our complex judicial system, about the laws and their impact and their intent, about equality, how five opinions can change the lives of millions. Think about it. How I think about my education, of the education of my children, of your children, of our children, of all children. People, what is we gonna do? We gonna wake up. We gonna read up, get up, speak up. We gonna count, do the math, and add it up. We gonna rise up, lift up ourselves and others. Today, today, today. How I think about my life, lot in life. How I ask you to think about yours. How I read a poem like this. How it provoked thought and action. How I'd like to do the same.